Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is trite, I promise you it's not with me, but I'm so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful to be saved. I'm so thankful that God would save a wretched sinner almost 18 years ago now. It's simply hard to believe that the time has gone by so quick that an old heavy metal drummer walked into an old-fashioned gospel-preaching church and he heard the Word of God and he got convicted and the Holy Spirit saved his soul that day. I'm so thankful for that. And one of the things I'm most thankful for is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you're back over there, you notice that it says in verse number 4, speaking of Satan and how he hide, when we hide our gospel, it's hid to them that are lost. But it says there in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And listen, the day I got saved, Brother Jim, the blinders came off. And I saw things, spiritually speaking, for what they were. Oh, I don't mean I saw angels or demons or anything like that, but I recognized through faith that there was a war going on. Amen. Satan didn't have the blinders on me anymore. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I'm glad that God allows us to have those blinders come off and He gives us vision. By the way, He gives it by faith. Brother Kelly, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. How do we have spiritual vision? I'll tell you how, by faith. Amen. By faith, God allows us to see. And I think of that parable that Jesus gave, or rather the miracle in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, when He healed the man that was blind. And you remember, He put the spittle in his eyes, and He asked the man, He said, "What do you see?" He said, "Well, I see men walking as trees." It was a little cloudy initially, amen? And it's a very strange miracle. It's a progressive miracle. But I think that we can draw something from that. You know, when you first get saved, your vision can be a little cloudy, can't it? You're not quite clear on where you stand and what the Bible says about this, but you come and you get trained, amen? Where do you do that? The house of God, amen? But I think of some things that can cloud our vision. You know, the cares of this world can cloud our spiritual vision. Listen, Brother Hendershot, the rent's due every month. Come on, church, amen. The mortgage is due. The bills have to be paid, amen. If you're a husband, you're to care for your wife. If you're a father, you're to care for your children. The cares of this world can cloud our vision. You know what else? Carnality can cloud our vision. How many times have we seen somebody, ladies and gentlemen, get saved and get on fire for God and they meant business with God and then sin robbed them of their vision? By the way, it can still happen to you and I. We have a sinful nature, amen. I think of carnality and cares. I think of consuming activities can cloud our vision. Listen, I am one of the most, what they call today, they call it OCD. Obsessive compulsive disorder. Some of you are in that club. I've seen you at the OCD meetings, amen. I'm one of them. Once I get on something, I am just on it, amen? And sometimes to a fault, I think of consuming activities. You know what else I think can cloud our vision? Careless living. Just not really caring that much. Not really caring. And we're talking about vision tonight. And I think of people that finished well. This year I had the privilege to, or I should say last year, I had the privilege to attend the funeral of an incredible deacon from Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. His name's Lyons Lawson. He's in glory now. I mean, Brother Merrill, a deacon, just the finest deacon I've ever known, served with him. What a blessing he was. How did he finish well? Well, you go on, you think of other people. I think of David Livingston and what he endured and literally having his arm mangled in the jungle and buried his wife there in the jungle. And how could he endure all that? And we could go on and on, ladies and gentlemen. There are people like, you read about the Apostle Paul at the end of 2 Corinthians 11 and all the things that he went through. How could he do that? How could martyrs go to the stake while they literally lit the fires underneath them? And how could they sing the praises of God? I'll tell you how. They kept the end in sight. They kept the end The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "For they look for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." They not only keep the end in sight, but how do you keep the end in sight? You focus on eternal things. See, look if you would at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. Verse 17, Paul's talking about all that he's gone through, and he gives us one of the most comforting verses in the Bible. Verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." I think of what Miss Nancy Horsch is going through. And it doesn't seem like a moment, does it, Brother Horsch? It's long. I think about this woman in the Bible who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, she suffered with that issue of blood. But Paul says right here, compared to eternity, it's a snap of the finger. It's a snap of the finger. And then he goes on and he says here, this is where we take our text from tonight. He says in verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." How can you finish well? If the Lord were to come in 2013, and I don't know about you folks, but I hope He does, amen. I'll tell you, it wouldn't bother me a bit, amen, if we didn't have to do any funerals this year. If the Lord just came and raptured out, it'd be okay with me. But if He did, would He find us faithful? I'll tell you, He would find us faithful if we would focus on five things. Five things. Keeping the end in sight. Focusing on eternal things. Five things. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Five things tonight. Keeping the end in sight. Focusing on eternal things. Exodus chapter 3. And you know this story, amen. Look at verse number 14, please, of Exodus chapter 3. Here we have Moses at the burning bush, and he's come, and he's taken off his shoes, amen, and he bowed down, amen. And then he's beginning to bargain with God as he does in these chapters. "Well, I don't know, they're not going to believe me in this and that and this." And God says this in verse 14. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." Should be all capitals if you have the right kind of Bible, by the way. "And He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing, if you want to keep the end in sight this year, you want to end well, amen, when God calls you home, listen, keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on, number one, on God. Keep your focus on His goodness. Keep your focus on His mercy. Keep your focus on His salvation. Keep your focus, praise God for this, for His long suffering. How patient He is with us when I would have squashed me like a bug a long time ago. Maybe you wouldn't have, but I would have squashed me like a bug a long time ago. God's so patient with us. Hey, and you know what? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we get our vision clouded and we need to wipe away the clouds and get our focus where it should be, on God Himself. And as Pastor Donald and I were talking about today, listen, focusing on God isn't 1 hour a week in this building. Worship is a verb. It's how you live your life that says how you worship, amen. So, number one, focus on God. Number two, go over with me into Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. Remember, the things which are not seen are eternal. No man has seen God at any time, the Bible says. Psalm 119, look if you would at verse number 89. The second thing you ought to focus on this year, if you want to finish well and finish right, amen, when the Lord comes, is not only God Himself, but verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You want to focus on something else? Focus on the word of God. Focus on the Word of God. Amen. You say, "I can see the Word of God. It's right here." But it's not bound, is it? It's not bound. Amen. Nobody. One day, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if it's going to happen in your day. For our dear seniors, I don't think it will. I wonder if it'll happen in my day. I'm pretty sure it'll happen in my children's day. They will come and take these. You say, in America, they'll come and take these. In America, they'll come and take these. They can't take what I got here. That's why God tells us to memorize it. That's why He tells us to hide it in our heart. That's why He tells us the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance. Listen, you want to focus on something this year? Get your nose in this book. Bury your nose in this book. Amen. Not only focus on God and focus on the Word of God, but number three tonight, go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, look at verse number 36, please. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says, "Fear not him that is able to kill the body, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." You want a third thing, a third eternal thing to keep your focus correct? Focus on souls. Focus on people. Listen, I joke all the time. And it is a joke, and it's funny. So the ministry would be great if it weren't for people. People have problems. I get a few calls that say, "Pastor," I see the phone ring and they say, "Pastor." And I say, "Yes." And they say, "Just wanted to tell you I love you and I appreciate you and I hope you have a good day." But that's the exception. The norm is, "Preacher, got a problem going on, got a situation going on, need your help." And that's okay, that's what I'm here for. I'm your pastor, amen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you want to focus on something this year? Focus on souls. Everybody you work with, everybody that lives in your neighborhood is a living soul for whom Jesus died. And He thought they were important enough to die for. Are they important enough for us to... Should be. Tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you want to show me a church where there's foolishness and strife and division and biting, I'll show you a church that doesn't care very much for souls. Because when your focus is right, you say, "You know what, I don't really care about that stuff. I care about winning people to Jesus." Amen. Number three, souls. Number two, God's Word. Number one, God. Number four, go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I'll be through in just a couple minutes here. Short, stout message. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 is a blessed verse. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." But then if you go down to verse 14, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." Can I give you something else to keep your focus this year? Focus on hell. Focus. You don't hear that in pulpits anymore. And it's the reason why we're in the mess that we're in. Focus on hell. Your neighbor, your loved one, they're going to heaven or hell. Focus on that. Why? Because that is something that's eternal. You'll never be sorry you focused on hell. You'll never be sorry if God brings you to your knees and you get a burden for somebody and they get saved. You're not going to be sorry for all eternity. You're not going to be sorry for all eternity if God burdened you for somebody and you wept and prayed over them and finally they came walking the aisle one day. You won't be sorry about that. You'd be sorry you watched a lot of TV programs. You'd be sorry you wasted a lot of time doing a lot of frivolous things, but you'll never be sorry keeping your eyes on eternal things. Listen, hell hasn't gotten any cooler because you stopped witnessing. Hell is real. It's real, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? If this church isn't going to focus on hell, who else is going to? Certainly not the modern church. Certainly not the 1 hour of power and the rock band church. Amen? They're not going to focus on it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, hell exists. It's real. It's in the Bible. God wants us to focus on it. Oh, I don't mean we just think about it all day long. If we did that, we'd weep in a corner. Amen. But I mean, it's part of our thinking. The idea that, hey, that person that I passed by, they need Jesus. They may be going to hell. God, God's Word, souls, hell. Praise God for this last point. Look at verse chapter 22 of Revelation, just a couple pages over. Verse 1 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Back to chapter 21, verse 3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen. Can I remind you tonight that the 23rd Psalm that we weep and say at graveside says at the end, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Think about heaven. You want to have your focus right this year? Think about heaven. Brother Becker, you got a son there. Mrs. Becker, got a son there. He's in heaven. Some of you got moms and dads. Brother and Mrs. Merrill, you got a son there. Some of you got precious brothers and sisters. Folk, listen, this business of people saying, "Well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." I've never found that to be true. You get to focusing on heaven, and it'll go right back to what we already talked about. You'll be focusing on hell too. Because if somebody's on their way to hell, you want them on their way to heaven. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, 2013, I've got vision. I've got vision. I'd like to get that parking lot paved. I would, amen. But you know what? That's secondary vision. First vision is this. Let's get the gospel to every house in Jackson. That doesn't just mean preacher and Pastor Donald. It's everybody chipping in. Some of you may be able to take a phone book and invite folks to church on your spare time. You can't get out. You could just say, "I'm from Loomis Park Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you to our church." Getting the gospel to everybody in Jackson. Why? Because it goes back to that song we sung before. People need the Lord and focus on eternal things. Father, we love You. Thank You.